I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour, a weekly broadcast with my dad, Pastor Salem. For over 45 years, CWH has proclaimed the good news of the gospel to those who are lost and provide hope and encouragement around the world. We welcome you to invite your friends and family to view this timeless program with you. This broadcast today aired in 2018 along with the film Heart of a Shepherd. You will hear our president, Bill, share about this precious endeavor. Pastor recounts his message today, the story of Ruth and Boaz, and the lessons we glean from it. May this classic sermon titled Ruth and a Man Named Boaz remind us of how God works in our lives. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And another week's rolled by. Here we are, gathered around the throne of grace. And someday, we're going to be in heaven, gathered around the throne of grace. And won't that be something? And we want you to be in that group. But you have to have Jesus, have to have Jesus. So just stay with us now, and we'll make sure that you know the Lord. And then we'll draw strength from the wonderful Savior as we worship Him. And we're going to be talking about the story of Ruth and Boaz. It's an Old Testament story, but does it have some beautiful lessons in it? I just love to preach about it. So stay with us, call your neighbors, and we'll worship the Lord together. We're looking at Psalm 96 today. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Dear Heavenly Father, what a beautiful picture. And someday we're going to see You face to face. And we just seems like we wish we could go right now. But Lord, we know that You've got work for us to do. So help us to be faithful and bless the work of our hands, because we labor in vain, Lord, unless You're in it, unless You bless it. So You just use this today, Lord, to bless people, to bring them to You, and to encourage Your people. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing for us today. God will take care of you. God bless you, Jan.
Beneath it.
Thank you, Jan. That's a wonderful thought, and it's a wonderful truth. God will take care of us. Someone has written about the 23rd Psalm where it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And they said, goodness and mercy are the names of two angels. And when we accept Jesus, God tells them, those two angels, surely goodness and mercy, you follow that person as long as they live until they get to heaven. And I know that the Lord has told us he would never leave us or forsake us. He will never fail us. He will never leave us. So that's the wonderful thing of the Christian faith. We're never alone. Well, we have some store letters. Always like to hear the letters. And so here's one from Elk River, Minnesota. And this person writes, you blessed my heart. The Holy Spirit did quicken my heart to send a gift of monies. I've been standing in prayer for my brother and sister. Heart wounds have moved them away from Jesus. But when you spoke of the Holy Spirit has sealed them, their hearts. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. And so as the Holy Spirit comes and brings comfort and strength. And when you accept Jesus, you know, there's some people are praying, I want the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for the Holy Spirit, and I'm praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I pray all the time. Now, the Holy Spirit is a third person of the Holy Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're three, and yet they're one. And that's what we call the Holy Trinity. Now, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. And when we accept Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. So don't pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that took place the minute you accepted Jesus. And then that Holy Spirit indwells us and is with us forever. For instance, Ephesians 1, verse 13. And Paul writes about the Holy Spirit. He says, in whom ye all trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit to promise, sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that is, in the olden days, a king would buy lumber maybe, and he would put some wax on it, and then he'd put his seal. And boy, nobody touched that lumber. That was the king's. Well, the Holy Spirit, if we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, we belong to the King of Kings. And the devil couldn't take us if he wanted to. He can tempt us, he can scare us and do all things and make faces. He's an ugly cuss. But he can't get into us at all, because we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians 1, verse 13. Well, Evansville, Wyoming, when I doubt or fear, I sing in my head, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I can then go to sleep at night, love you all. Well, you know, I sing that too, 96 years old. I'm still singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Isn't that wonderful to know that somebody loves you? And you know that's a Jesus, the Son of God, that wonderful Savior, the one who died for us on the cross. That's how much he loved us. Jesus loves me. You say, well, he sure doesn't love me because I'm not very good. And one little boy went home from Sunday school and he said he knew he'd never get to heaven because they said that Jesus loves the good little boys. Well, he does love the good little boys and girls. He loves the naughty little boys and girls too. Thank God for that. And just to know that Jesus loves you. You come to Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. He loves you. Great, great message. Here's one from London, England. London, the United Kingdom. I'm not so well, but I'm thankful to God for another day to live. I'm very sick with cancer. Presently in the hospital, bedridden. I need your prayers. And so this is an email from London, England. And we've had at least two or three calls from London. People had watched the service, and they were one. I remember one man, he wasn't sure of his salvation. He said, I said the prayer, but I don't know if God heard it. I don't know if it was enough. But it just tells us, whosoever will call in the name of the Lord can be saved. and we are able to give scripture. You have to have scripture. You can't just say, well, this is what I think. Well, who cares what you think or what I think? What does God say? That's all. It's on that premises. Here's St. Paul, Minnesota, and says, I enjoy watching you every Sunday morning. Your show has inspired me a lot because it gives me the strength to go on. I love to hear about Jesus, and that's what keeps me going. Well, that's what keeps all of us going, is we have Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're carrying a lot of load and a lot of burdens and a lot of troubles you wouldn't have to carry. But because when we come to Jesus, he says, cast your burdens upon me. Come all unto me, all you heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says, I'll take those burdens and I'll carry them for you and I'll help you along the way. That's a wonderful Savior that he is. And I don't say he's going to make you all rich or make us all healthy. And I got a bum leg, and but that, praise the Lord, I'm just happy. I'm thankful for that leg. And what if it was a peg leg or something like that, you know? So all is just wonderful just to know Jesus. And whatever he sends, sunshine or rain, we rejoice in the Savior. Hull, Iowa. Just a short note with my gift. I'm glad I can still give to the Christian Worship Hour. You all have done so much for me spiritually. I enjoy the new song. It's so comforting for the day. This month's story of love, when there's so much hate in the world. Sometimes I read it over and over. God bless you all. Now, when they talk about the new song, that's a little paper we put out every month. And it's a little Bible study. And some people use this for private Bible studies. Now, she says she reads it over and over. And it's a very little plain paper on different subjects. This month, the month of May, it's on Let Your Light Shine. How Jesus says, you know, let your light so shine before men. So that we have a little study on that. And there's verses that you can look up. Sometimes in retirement homes we have people. We have prisoners that gather together and have this little Bible study. You say, oh boy, I'm going to get that. How much does it cost? Now, you're not going to believe this, but it's free. Free. We are so good-hearted. We are so wonderful. We pay the postage and everything, and we're going to do that till we go broke. And then probably we'll have to start charging. But we never have to, because people send money and they send gifts and everything. God always provides. And we have prisoners. They don't have money to send. We have some people on Social Security. They're just barely making it. They don't have money to make a big subscription. And so we'll send it free and postpaid. And you get your pencil and paper. I want to give you the address in just a minute. Here's a letter from Coon Rapids, Minnesota. My thanks go out to all of you at Christian Worship Hour. Such a wonderful blessing to be able to worship with you on Sunday morning. I became disabled last year and have been able to continue learning about God and our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's our wonderful Savior, and I found him through your program. So that's what it's all about. We're bringing the good news of the gospel, and what you need to do is open your heart to Jesus. And all you have to do is just to call in the name of the Lord and be saved. Just tell him you're a sinner. Ask him to come into your heart, and then you turn from your sins. Jesus always taught repentance. Repentance means an about face. Turn about, turn away, turn from those old ways. Say, well, what if I drift back into him? We all do that. When we do, we're told us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll forgive us. Wonderful, wonderful Savior. Crofton, Nebraska. I really appreciate the Christian Worship Hour every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. This is the only time I can find it on my TV. I pray to the Lord on Saturday night to wake me up by 6 to hear the Christian Worship Hour. Well, sometimes we have to take a little bit earlier hour. And I got a letter not too long ago, and they got us at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I wrote back and told them, we are not paying for anything at 1 o'clock in the morning. But what happens is sometimes the station has a little extra time, and out of their goodness, they play our service. And so if it comes on 1 o'clock, you can just bet your bottom dollar. We never paid a penny for it, because we might go at 1 o'clock in the morning, but not at midnight. No, none of that night stuff for us. We're not night owls. one more letter, and then I want to tell you, has something special for you. Fargo, North Dakota, I welcome the Lord Jesus into my life, and it is wonderful. Keep up the great work, and you will have more followers. May God bless you. And so here's a person during our service prayed to accept Jesus. And may I'm praying many of you will do the same thing. And this is all made possible because you gave. So we just rejoice. Now we have a special guest today, Bill Edwards. And he's on our board, and he's helped us for years and years and years. And he has a special announcement about a special project. Bill, God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Do you know the most important decision you will make in your entire lifetime is where will you spend eternity? The Christian Worship Hour has produced a film, Heart of a Shepherd, that reveals the answer. This is an inspiring, heartwarming story of our own Pastor Salem. But most importantly, it will guide you, your family, and your friends to a glorious eternity. The Heart of a Shepherd film is now available through the Christian Worship Hour. And may our Lord bless you as you make life's most important decisions.
Thank you, Bill. And I want to say amen to that, and I want to do something else. I want to ask you to pray for this film. And I'll tell you why the Christian Worship Hour made up this film. We did it because it presents the way of salvation, the way of coming to Jesus, accepting Jesus. And it can go all over the world. And so I just pray for a shepherd heart. And it's talking about Jesus, a wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And I've sort of said it so many times, if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. If you know Jesus, if you accept Jesus, you'll love him. I accepted him 87 years ago. I was 10 years old. And I can tell you he's never failed me once. And he's a blessing. I just thank God for his wonderful son, Jesus. But we need to have your help. We need to have your help as we send out the gospel. So you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box number is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send us a gift, you can send a gift right now. You say, oh, I wish I could send some money. I'd like to just give them some money right now. All right, get to ChristianWorshipHour.com, and there's a play donate, and you can put your money on that, and we'll get it in a U.S. currency, and we'll pay our bills. Just bang, just like that. We get money all the time over the Internet. Now, I don't know how they do it. I don't even know how to work it. We have some ladies that take care of that, and they figure it all out. But there it comes. We pay our bills. When we get enough money, put on another station because we're dedicated to spreading the gospel through all the world. So if you'd like to write to us and help us in this work, then you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And especially, I want to give it a little slow because we have 90% of the world's population covered by shortwave radio. And so all of you on shortwave radio, oh, would we love to hear from some of you. So just write us, drop us a note, and write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And then if you want to help us financially, well, we'll just have to tell you that we are not underwritten by any organization or denomination or corporation. We are underwritten by God's people, as God's people supply our needs. And you know what? We're in our 39 years. We've been 39 years, and many of those people already gone to be with Jesus, gone on to their reward. So we have new ones step up, and God says, okay, now we need some more help here. So he speaks to hearts. And so you I look at this thing, and then you say, yes, I want to help. Or ask the Lord what you want to do, he wants you to do. And then you can send your gift. And I want to tell you this, too, that we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Society for Council for Christian Accountability. And if you can write to us, you can know that they were accepted by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and we can just, you can be sure that every penny is accounted for. And then one other thing I want to mention, if you want a new song, a little song, be sure to write new song. We'll be glad to send it. So now I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord leads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all who supported us over the years and those who helped help right now, stepping up to help us in the work. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We always appreciate Jan. She's so faithful in helping us in music. And I know it speaks to many hearts and encourages people all over the world. We're reading from Ruth, the book of Ruth today, and we're going to look at the fourth chapter and the 13th verse. And the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 13. And when we have our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Kenya. And every week we pray for a different church, a different part of the world where the church is suffering. And it just seems like there's so many places everywhere you turn, the devil's persecuting the church of God. But if we, all the rest of us, stand behind them, and they know that the whole world is standing behind them in Kenya, then this week they can rejoice and take heart, never give up. Don't become weary in well-doing. So we read in Ruth chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the woman and women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse and the father of David. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this story of Ruth. And here she is. She's going to be a Gentile, a Moabite Gentile. She's going to be in the lineage of Jesus. And that shows your wonderful love. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Where would we be? Where would I be if you didn't warrant long-suffering and kind and gentle? Because so many times we fail you, Lord. We should have stood up and we should have done something, or we did something we shouldn't have done. And it's so easy. The flesh is so weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So thank you for your goodness and mercy, and thank you that we can just know that you have a kind Heavenly Father. When we accept your Son as our Savior, we become your children, and like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Thank you for being such a good father. And Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Kenya, and we just can't imagine the sorrow they have and the trials they have. And yet, Lord, we marvel that they absolutely refuse to turn against you. And like those brave young men some time ago, bowed their head and in Arabic said, Jesus is Lord, and they lost their head. They were taken off. Oh, dear God. But they entered immediately into your presence. They wear the martyr's crown. And they can, and so help us to be strong. Help us to be that, help that to be a challenge to us and an encouragement to us. And then bless those that are left behind. I know you will, Lord. I know your eye is ever upon them. You'll never leave them or forsake them. And so just work things. Oh, dear Lord, I just wish you could come and put an end to this thing. But maybe you have a few more you want to bring into the kingdom, and so we'll wait. So we always pray as you taught us to, thy will be done. Bless us in this service now. May everything we say and do honor Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank is with us. He's going to sing a song. He's still God. God bless you, Hank.
When the days seem so long, he makes my heart strong. He's still God.
He's still God.
He's still God.
He's still God.
And when the night time is near, he calms all my fears. He's still God.
He's still God.
He's still God. He's still God, and he still reigns upon his throne. He's still God, and he still cares for his own. He's still the hope for the soul, and he's still in control. So be still now and know he's still God. When I'm down and feeling sad, he makes my heart glad. He's still God.
He's still God.
He's still God.
He's still God.
In joy or in pain, in the sunshine or the rain, he's still God.
He's still God.
He's still God. He's still God, and he still reigns upon his throne. He's still God, and he still cares for his own. He's still the hope for the soul. He's still in control. So be still now and know he's still God. So be still now and know he's still God.
Amen. Well, thank you, Hank. And we need to be reminded of that because, boy, when you see the world the way it's going, you look anywhere you want, there's problems and there's troubles and there's sorrow and there's hatred. Even in our United States of America, my, the hatred and the... it just shows. It's just a sad thing. And so people say, well, where's God? Why doesn't he do something? Well, maybe he doesn't do anything because in the 60s, they said, we don't want your book in our school, the Bible, and we don't want the Ten Commandments, and we don't want any of your prayers, and we don't want you, God, get out of here. And God said, all right, I'll let you have your own medicine. I'll let you live in your own sin. And oh my, how we've gone down since the 60s. I started preaching in the 40s, 1944. And I tell you, it's a whole different world, and it's not a better world. And they better get back to God, because God is still there. And we've got a sermon today. We've got a story about God. And it's in the Old Testament. It's the story of Ruth and Boaz. And you're going to be blessed. Maybe you don't even want a blessing. You're going to get one anyway if you just stay awake and listen to us, because it's the Word of God. And that's where the power comes from. That's where the hope comes from. So this is the story. Story starts in Bethlehem. There was a man named Elimelech. He lived in Bethlehem. It's the same Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And his wife's name was Naomi. And there was a terrible drought in the land of Israel because of Israel's sin. And God is speaking to them to bring them around. And so there's an awful drought. And after some time, Elimelech, along with his wife Naomi, and they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they leave Bethlehem. And they travel eastward to the Jordan River. They cross over into a land called Moab. And this is a land that knew not Israel's God. They had false gods, and they had nothing to do with the God of Israel. And sure enough, after they had been there some times, these two sons married heathen women. They married women that were idol-worshiping women. Their names was Orpah and Ruth. But just at the beginning of their troubles, because when you have a mixed marriage like that, that right there's going to be problems, but that wasn't the end of their problems by any means. Because first of all, Elimelech, head of the family, he got sick and he died. And then sadly to say, within 10 years, the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, died also. And so that left three widows, God-fearing Naomi and her two heathen daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Filled with heartbreaking sorrow, Naomi's heart turns back finally to Bethlehem. All of her memories are there. All of her friends are there. That's where her God was. She worshiped her God especially. She worshiped him in Moab. But it wasn't like when she was young and grew up with that wonderful God. And so finally she tells her two daughters-in-law that she's going to go back home to her childhood, back to Bethlehem, back to her roots. And so the two daughters-in-law have come to love Naomi. And they declare, no, we're going to go with you. And so they start the journey back to Bethlehem, and they get to the Jordan River. The Jordan River was the dividing line between Moab and Israel. And they're just about ready to cross over. And then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye and turned back. But not so Ruth. She didn't do that. We read in Ruth chapter 1, verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Ruth answers her mother-in-law. They have become great close friends. She just can't part with her. And so now Ruth's going to speak to her mother-in-law. And she utters some of the most beautiful words in all of the Bible. I wouldn't be surprised if some of maybe the most beautiful words ever written. Listen to them. Ruth declares, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God will be my God. Where I die, where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. That last phrase, if anything but death parts you and me, we use that weddings all the time. They don't realize it comes from the Bible. That's exactly where it comes from. So there on the east bank of the Jordan River, Ruth declares in no uncertain terms, your God will be my God. And that means there was a switch for Ruth, and she wasn't that pagan woman anymore. She'd been with the worshiping the god Chemosh. From a child, she'd prayed to him. That's all she knew was Chemosh. She'd known other God, no other God until she met Naomi. But Naomi changed her mind, changed her heart, and she began to worship Jehovah, the God of Israel. And she says, your God will be my God. And so the two of them, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, go back to Bethlehem. And they settle down, but not for long. They have no money and they have no food. And so Ruth starts out, and where does she go? Listen to the record. It's in Ruth 4, verse 2, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech, one of their relatives. Notice, she came to glean. They had a Jewish law, and the Jewish law was that in the fields of wheat and whatever it was, you couldn't do the corners. You couldn't reap the corners. You left that for the poor. And the trees that bore fruit, you could only hit it with a stick once, not twice, because I'd leave some for those who had nothing, for the poor. And so here she comes, and she's going to glean. And she comes to a field owned by Boaz. It says she just happened to do that. Now, Boaz, who is he? He's a great man. He's a wealthy man. He's a godly man. He was a relative of Elimelech. He was a part of her family. And as such, he was obliged by Hebrew law to raise up a son to represent Elimelech from this woman, Ruth. So Boaz marries Ruth, and a godly home is established, and a son is born. His name is Obed. Obed became the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. And David is in the line of David came Jesus. And that, my friends, is the story of Ruth and Boaz. Now let's look at some of the lessons that it leaves us. First of all, it shows us Naomi never got bitter toward God. She could have been. If she wanted to, she easily could have been. I've ministered to people that had a lot less troubles than this that turned bitter toward God. Look at her fortune in life, though. She could have easily done that. She'd been starved out of her home in Bethlehem because of the severe drought. And she'd been a stranger in a foreign land that didn't worship God, didn't worship her God. She had a husband named Elimelech. And he got ill, and he faded away, and he died, and she had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Both of them die young. Yes, if she wanted to, Naomi could have been a bitter, angry old woman. But that was not Naomi. In joy or in sorrow, in sickness or in health, she saw the hand of God, and she saw the love of God. She could have been a sour, bitter old woman, but not Naomi. She was genuine. She reverently, genuinely saw the hand of God at work in her life, and she submitted to it in a sweet and a gentle way. You see, you know, the troubles in life always do that. They make us better, or they make us bitter. The same sun that shines on the wax, on the butter, makes it melt. But it makes something else with clay mold. It'll make one bitter, it'll make one sweet, make one soft, make one hard. It's the same circumstances, and you and I decide what it's going to be. The sun doesn't make the difference. We make the difference, and they can drive us away from God or closer to God. Some of you are going through hard times right now. And how are you going to react? Will you bow your head and bless God? Will you submit to God? Or will you strike back? Will you be bitter and hard and angry and profane? The storms of life hit Naomi, and they're going to hit you if they already haven't done so. Naomi was that kind of a woman. She praised the Lord in the time of joy. She loved the Lord in the time of sorrow. She was just like old Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When God gives, we bless his name. When God takes, we bless his name. It doesn't make a bit of difference what God does. We love that God. There are many storms of life, not just the literal blizzards and floods. There are other storms of life that like we have to face, like the death of a loved one, a broken marriage, a wayward child, a financial disaster, broken love affair, misunderstandings, false accusations, painful sufferings. The result is always the same. We get closer to God or we get farther away from God. It is our choice and we make the decision how we're going to come out. God doesn't make that decision. We make that decision. Listen to her. The Almighty God hath dealt very bitterly with me, she says. And I went out full and I brought me home empty. But in spite of that, she still had her God. She never moved. She loved the Lord. And we bless his name as just as she blessed his name. And then secondly, never forget Naomi. God never forgot Naomi. I suspect that there were times when Naomi wondered, I wonder if God has forgotten about me. When she had to leave her home and go in Bethlehem, I wonder if God will remember me in Moab. And then when Elimelech dies, she can say, I wonder if God will remember me. I wonder when my first son went and my second son went, I wonder about what's going to happen. I wonder if God knows that these people are gone. And then that tough, long trip back to Bethlehem, I wonder if she can make it and she doesn't have income and what's she going to live on in old age and who's going to take care of her and what's she going to do when winter comes. And so she could think of a lot of things, but God was there. All of the time, that Jewish man is going to marry this Gentile woman from Moab. Yes, Moab, Noah must have wondered if God was there. But God, you know what? God had not forsaken Naomi and he hadn't forsaken Ruth. A husband is found and food was provided. And that's not the end of the story. You know how this story ends? It ends this way. Ruth found a husband. Ruth had a son. The son's name was Obed. Obed was the grandfather of King David, and that means that Naomi became the great-grandmother of the great King David. And Naomi's daughter-in-law, that Moabite woman that worshipped the false god, was not a Jew, was a Gentile. That very daughter-in-law became a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. It is amazing. It's like Rahab. God's great grace. He doesn't write anybody off. No one is beyond the love of God or the care of God. What more could you ask? This wonderful grace of God. And the only place you're ever going to find grace is in our God, the God Jehovah, the God of the Israel. You'll never find it in the false gods and all of these other isms and all of the other teachings. There's no grace there and no love there. Yes, God didn't forget. God had not forsaken her, and God has not forsaken you, my friend, if you're going through hard times and you're wondering why things happen. There are things in life we can't explain. We'll never explain in this life. Sometimes we can see the reason things happen. Sometimes we can't see. Excuse me. And we never will see until we see the Lord and we get over there. And it'll all make sense when we get there. We'll say, oh, yes, now I understand. Now I see. It's just like a beautiful carpet. You have that carpet and you turn it over and the threads run every which way under the sun and it looks wild. And then you set it over and there's a beautiful pattern. We are on their underside now, but the upper side all makes sense and is a beautiful picture. Like the little girl looked up in the sky and said, if the bottom of heaven and saw the stars, if the bottom of heaven is that beautiful, I wonder what the other side is like. Don't question God. Never say, people say, well, I've got a right to ask God why. No, you don't. You don't have any right at all, except when some of these things happen to you, like Naomi. When some of these things come upon you, then what do? You ask God, what do you want me to see? What do you want me to change in my life? What do you want me to get out of this? And just draw closer. And it's all your decision. He's not going to move you. You're going to move yourself. And the same old storm that drives one close drives the other one away. You choose the picture. And someone told one lady she's having a lot of disappointments in her life. And they said, you're painting a picture now. And she says, yes, and I'm going to choose the colors. And that's what you can do. You can choose black and just be bitter, or you can choose the gold and the beautiful of God. See, that's what Naomi did. That's what she's teaching us. And finally, don't miss the providence of God. Don't miss the hand of God. Over and over, we see it in these stories. We see it in Jochebed and Moses. We see it in Rahab and the spies. We see it in Ruth and Boaz. We see it in Daniel in the lion's den. We see it in David and Goliath. We see it everywhere. Moses and putting that little baby in the river with the crocodiles. And what's going to happen to that child? And nothing's going to happen to that child because there's a hand of God. And Pharaoh's daughter will come just at the right time. Not too early, not too late, just right. And her heart will be just right. There was only one person in that all of Egypt that could defy the Pharaoh, and that was his own daughter. And she's the one that got the baby Moses and took him out of the water. That's what Moses means, drawn out of the water. And then gave him back to who's going to take care of this child? And here's Miriam, and she gets his mother. And they say, oh boy, that's a joke the devil played on that woman. That is here, she's going to pay the mother for keeping the baby, and she didn't even know the difference. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. When that mother took that baby back and hugged that baby, don't you think Pharaoh's daughter didn't know the whole story? Nobody was fooled. It was a mother and her little baby, and it was the hand of God. And that's what we have to watch out. You look at it here with Ruth, for instance. In chapter 2, verse 3 says, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. She happened. What if she would have turned right instead of left? What if she'd have gone south instead of north? If that had been the case, the two had never met. And Bethlehem still sits as a hill overlooking that huge meadow. The fields south of Bethlehem are called shepherd's fields. I've seen them. There's miles of them. And of all those fields, there's one woman that goes to one man's field at the right time of day, and he sees her. You call that it just happened to be? Where do you come from? That's the hand of God. God placed her just in the right spot at just the right time so that Boaz would see her. And after he noticed the beautiful young thing, well, what did he say? What had happened? The rest is all story. The hand of God taking care of Ruth and Boaz and all of the things of all life. Lesson, friends, learn, lean upon the Lord. Trust not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. When we live close to Jesus, trying to please him in all that we do, why then we do that, we say we We just can find the happiness, and we find contentment, and we find joy. And that's what Naomi did. That's what Ruth did. They listened to God. They let God lead them. And so that's why we pray. And that's why we read that Bible. And that's why we talk to our friends and consult our friends to get ideas. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit within us. And I'm going to tell you, if you have a decision and you don't feel good about it, back off. Listen to the Holy Spirit. There's been times I knew I ought not do something, I did it. And there's been times that something that says, you just need to wait a minute here. You just need to look at this thing again. And it was the right thing. The Holy Spirit is there. And when we make our mistakes, as we will, just if we confess those sins and go to Jesus, tell him, I'm sorry that I sinned. He'll forgive us every time. I wouldn't have any idea how many times he's forgiven me, but in 87 years, it's in the thousands, I'm sure. But he's never failed once. But the main thing is, do you know Jesus? You have to know Jesus, and you'll never know him until you open your heart. Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say it's a good idea. He says, you must be born again. And he says, how can I be born again? That's what Nicodemus says. And Jesus says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Put your faith in the Savior, and thou shalt be saved. He says in John 5:24, there's many as received him. In John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, pass from death unto life. You need to accept Jesus, and he's right at your heart's door now. Revelation 3, verse 20 says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your life. You say, well, I didn't hear any noises. I didn't hear any voices. You maybe won't, but there'll just be a feeling. You just know, I want Jesus. That I was 10 years old. I just knew I needed Jesus. I didn't hear any voices, see any lights or get any goose pimples or anything. But I prayed just that simple prayer. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. I've sinned against you. Come into my heart and wash away my sins. Because I can't go to heaven with any sin. Wash them away. And Jesus, I'll turn from my sins. There's got to be repentance, turning. And I'll follow you the best I can. I'm going to let you in a little secret. You won't be perfect. But you strive for perfection. Strive to be like Jesus. Don't take any person for an illustration or a pattern or a model. Come to Jesus. Make him your pattern. And when you fail, you tell Jesus you're sorry, and he'll forgive you every time. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows that the flesh is weak and the spirit is willing. He knows what we want to do, but he knows that we're going to fail because that flesh will fail you every time. Just put your faith in Jesus, ask forgiveness, and go on your way rejoicing. And if you've done that, you write to us. And if you want to send us a gift, you write to us. We have to have your help. If we don't have your help, there's no way for us to get along. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 in the USA. If you want to, and Chris, and all of you on shortwave, let me give that again. Well, so anxious to hear from all of you, dear friends. We pray for you all the time. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And we'll write. And if you've accepted Jesus and you want literature, we'll send you literature wherever you are in the world. We'll send it to you. And then if you want the new song, that little Bible study, well, then you let us know about that. Just say, I'd like to have the new song, and we'll send it to you. And you can grow spiritually. So now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, praying for, thanking you for all those accepting you. Thank you for all of those coming back. I'm praying, Lord, for those who are aged and those who are shut-ins and those who are on sick beds and those who are lonely. Oh, dear God, they're so lonely, some of them. Help them to know you're there. You're closer than their breath. Be with the young people, Lord, as they have decisions to make, and the children and the mothers and the dads. all who need you, Lord. You are there, and you love them and help them to love you and turn to you. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you for the time we've had together. We got our number on there, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, and we're going to be looking for your letter. And then, and next week, we're going to have a wonderful service. And just tell your friends to tune in the Christian Worship Hour. And then we'll all gather. We're all scattered over the world, but we're all centered on the throne of grace. And we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he speaks to our hearts and he blesses us. And we all go away from it stronger. And then we go out to serve and we tell others about Jesus. Don't get preachy. Just tell people what Jesus means to you, how he gives you peace and he gives you joy. And he's not going to give, maybe he won't, maybe he'll give you a fortune. I don't know. Chances are he won't. You may not get rich. You may not, maybe you're going to have a bum leg or maybe you're going to have some troubles and trials, but he's going to give you peace, wonderful peace, peace the world can't give and the world can't take. So God bless you. Jesus loves you. God loves you, everyone. Christian Worship Hour loves you. I know I love you all. And we'll look forward to next week. In the meantime, God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you and God bless you.